I'd planned on talking about the first verse of the Bible. That's where I'll start. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that verse is very simple, but it sure is packed with a lot of truth and a lot of opportunity to think about God and His creation. And I've marveled at it for a long time. And it says it all in that very first verse. I can't get over the fact that in God's wisdom, He began this book off with that verse.
Yeah.
And as a lot of y'all know, I listen to a lot of atheists on YouTube. Because there are so many of them. And I'm always curious what they're going to say and how it is that they reject God. And knowing that you can't be without God. Everybody has a God. You don't have a choice in that matter. It's like you don't have a choice in whether or not you are going to suffer the consequences of rejecting God. You don't have a choice in that matter. And so in this verse, he talks about three things that every human being is locked into, and that is without their choice. You can only think inside time. The first thing it begins with, the beginning. That's time. It's when it began, whenever that was. Then heaven, that's space. And the earth, which is everything you see, everything in it. And we'll talk a little bit about each of those. But he does add, there's another element added here. And that is God.
Yeah.
God. So there came a moment when God only existed. And from God we got time, space, and matter. And interestingly enough, all three of those have three components that have to be that way. And why is that they have to be? And it wouldn't make sense if they weren't that way. And let's just take, before I go into that, there are a couple verses that talk about the end. And I'll just read them to you. You don't need to look for them. The first one is Matthew 13:40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. You know, if there's a beginning, there has to be an end. It has to be that way. And it will be that way. That beginning came at some point, you can't even say in time, because there wasn't any time yet. It came at some point in eternity. Another verse out of Hebrews 9:26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. It's talking about Jesus Christ. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Well, that was over 2,000 years ago, and he's talking about in the end of the world. So even the scriptures are telling us there's a beginning and there's going to be an end. We don't know when that's going to be. And I think about it often simply because I know that we are moving towards that last day. And I happen to be one of those that believe we live in that twilight period of time. And as Brother JT said, it's going to continue as it always has, harvest and seed time, until, in God's providence, it's over. There'll be no more time. But it did begin. Now, I've got a few things to read that I picked up from Wikipedia. So we'll talk a little bit about time. You know, how much time is there? How much time has there been? And how do they measure time? It's amazing to me how much God has revealed of himself to man. And we live in a day when there's an explosion of this revelation of God to man. And yet, it drives me closer to God. I marvel. I just absolutely marvel at his creation. And yet, some people, it drives them further away. The more they know about, they'll call it the law of physics. It's really the laws of God. They get consumed with it and move further away from God. Everybody pretty well agrees that a second is the basis of time. You know, 60 seconds to a minute, 60 minutes to an hour, 24 hours to a day, and about 365 days to a year, and on and on. But it begins with a second. It actually goes below a second, but we'll talk about that. So here is the definition of a second. And you know, I couldn't understand everything they said about it. It's just, you know, it's beyond me. No. Well, actually, in a way. Time is measured by, you know, there are 80, you know, I thought I knew the number by heart. There's 84 or 89, either 84 or 94 elements in the entire universe. And I heard that first from a secularist, somebody who was not Christian. And it's a marvel. As big as the universe is, and there's only these, I think it's 94 natural elements. That's amazing when you think of how big the universe is, and we'll talk about that. So one of them, and it's called it's an isotope. And I'm going to get a little bit above my head if I go too far on this, but there's an atom is the basic element, or an atom is the basic particle of any element. And there's an atom, it's called cesium, and there's an isotope of it, which means it has something to do with, it's a little different, something to do with the neutrons. But a second is defined by a specific cesium-133 transition. The official definition of a second is 9,192,631,770 cycles. In other words, the thing's vibrating between two energy states. So that's, you know, 9.2 million times a second does this thing vibrate. That's how they measure a second. Now, I don't know who counted it. I don't know why it was 770, why not 750. Yeah. But that's the number.
I believe what you said around it all.
Well, yeah, well, I wanted to give you the number so you can see how precise they've gotten with this. You know, they didn't know this stuff 200 years ago. They didn't know this stuff 150 years ago. But, and again, this is a revelation of God to man. Man didn't figure this out. They just discovered it. Now listen to this. So they got these atomic clocks. They actually got a couple. You know, and it's like everything else. It's like the microscope has been perfected over time. You know, there was that very first one. And now they've got, you know, some really super-duper microscopes and telescopes. So, regarding these atomic clocks, and they're trying to get them even more precise. at this planned performance level with this particular clock, it will not lose a second in at least 300 million years.
Hmm.
That's pretty precise. That's pretty good. That's better than that clock back there on the wall. That's why I brought my phone up, because I know it's wrong. Now, I tell you some of these things just to, not so much to amaze you, but to think about God and to think about, he didn't sit down and figure this stuff out.
No.
I mean, it is what it is because it's how God designed it. It's always been that way. That's talking about time. And we all know time is past, present, and future. If you think about the flow of time, most of us think it's, you know, past, present, future. But it really isn't. We're actually moving into the past. And what it suggests, you know, it's like tomorrow hasn't come yet. But when we get there, it'll be the present. And then it'll be past come Tuesday. So you're really moving the flow of time. And what it suggests is that there's only a limited amount of time. It's running out.
Right.
Now, I don't know when it's going to happen. Actually, there's somebody, I don't know how many of y'all heard this, but there's some numerologist is saying that tomorrow is the day, the 23rd.
Good.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly.
I hope he's right.
What a fool. I don't know if he claims to be a Christian or not, but what a fool. You know, the scriptures are so clear about that. At any rate. So I was talking about time. And when you think of the order of this, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Heaven, singular.
Mm-hmm.
It's plural at the end. It's heavens. Right now, it's heaven. So what about space? I mean, would time make any sense without space? No. Would time make any sense without past, present, future? No. You have to have all three of those. And so what is space? Space is length, breadth, and depth. You know, three dimension. That's space. Let's talk a little bit about space. And again, let me read this definition. The universe is all of space and time and their contents, including planets, stars, galaxies, and all other forms of matter and energy. While the spatial size of the entire universe is still unknown, of course,
right,
it is possible to measure the observable universe. Now, one of the things that's always been a question in my mind, they say the universe is expanding. They determine that by the colors that they see, the wavelengths. Okay, what's it expanding into?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is space expanding into? There's got to be, you know, if it's expanding, it's got to be going into something. You know, one of the popular programs on TV is the Big Bang Theory. Pardon me?
Clyde
Is that right?
Jim Parsons graduated
from Clyde Oboe. Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't know that. The Big Bang Theory is the prevailing cosmological description of the development of the universe. Under this theory, space and time emerge together. Time and space. I ain't saying anything about matter yet. Time and space emerge together 14 billion light years ago with a fixed amount of energy and matter that has become less dense as the universe has expanded. Giant clouds later merged through gravity to form galaxies, stars, and everything else. Since it is possible to see objects that are now further away than this 14 billion light years because space itself has expanded. Space has expanded. This means... well, they don't really say that, but you know, they say a lot of things that I surely didn't know what in the world they were talking about. This means the object, and listen to this part. I mean, I kind of knew the common thought about the width of the universe or how the furthest star was 13.8 billion light years away. But now they say objects which are now 46 billion light years away can still be seen in their distant past because at that time they were much closer. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. Light is what they say travels, well, the speed of light, which I guess is the fastest known measure of speed or light or wavelength. It's 186,000 miles per second. In a year, a light year in miles, that's is 5.865 trillion miles in a year. And there's a reason I'm giving these numbers out. Now, if a man, an 80-year-old man, for his entire life traveled at the speed of light. I can't pronounce the number, but that trillion is 10 digits long. 10 digits. If a man traveled that speed his whole life, the number of miles would be that plus 6 digits more. 9 digits more. 9 digits more. That's huge. The measurable universe, just using that 13.799 billion light years, not the 46. And I can only do this because I had a computer. If I had to calculate it by hand, I'd still be still calculating. So the universe is not only that 9-digit number plus 9 digits in front, but add 4 more. It's a huge number. I'm sure scientists have a name for it. I mean, it's just a huge number. And the reason I point all that out is I want to show the vastness of this universe that we know of. The vastness of it. We don't know it all. But the distance that a man will travel in his life compared to the universe wouldn't It wouldn't even be 0.2% of the universe. Not a drop in the bucket, that's right. It's like a grain of sand compared to the earth. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. And God created it. And He didn't break a sweat doing it.
In a big bang.
It was a command.
It broke water, huh?
It was a... well, yeah, it was. He said, let there be light. Yeah. Well, and then, not really that, but I mean, you know, in the beginning, God created. So we've talked a little bit about time and talked about space. Now we've got to talk a little bit about mass. You know, all of us, you know, we have mass. And again, here's a definition. An atom is the smallest constituent unit of ordinary matter that has these different properties. And like I said, there's 94 different kinds of atoms or elements. And then there's these isotopes, which are just a little variation of that atom. Atoms are extremely small. Typical sizes are around 100 picometers. a picometer. Listen to this. It's a 10 billionth of a meter. 1/10 billionth of a meter. We're talking about the size of an atom here. And that's, they say that's on the short scale. I didn't bother to find out what the difference between that and the long scale was, but 10 billionth of a meter. That's pretty small. Every atom is composed of a nucleus and then electrons. And that nucleus is the mass of the atom. And that mass is 99.94% of the mass of an atom. It's the nucleus. So you got protons and neutrons in that nucleus, and then you got these electrons that revolve around it. Mm-hmm. Anywhere from one up to, I don't know what the highest number of it is, but I mean, listen to this. Protons have a mass. Like I said, nucleus is protons and neutrons. The protons are 1,836 times the size of an electron. I don't know how they figured all this out. I'm just throwing this stuff out there assuming that it's kind of true. It is true. And yet, you know, man, God has given man the ability.
There's the answer right there.
Exactly. Exactly it is. And that's the whole reason I'm throwing these out is that we would marvel and think how wonderful and almighty our God is, and how He is beyond finding out. He's unplumbable. And when you listen to these atheists, they talk so boldly and so poorly of God, and yet they don't realize that the only reason that they can know what they know is because God's given them. He's revealed Himself to them.
Romans 1.
Pardon me?
That's Romans 1.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. Now listen to this. Then we'll start getting into some scripture. If an apple were magnified to the size of the earth. I started bringing apples because I bought a couple yesterday. Fuji apples. I like the Fuji apples. I was tempted to. They're very good. But if an apple were magnified to the size of the earth, then the atoms in that apple, now that apple's filled with all them atoms, then the atoms in the apple would be the approximate size of the original apple. You think about that.
Yeah.
So if I was holding an apple in my hand, that would be the size of one atom in that apple compared to the whole earth.
Yeah.
And it's a marvel. I mean, this is made up of atoms. And I can tear it, put my fist through it maybe. I ain't going to do that with that stuff there. Not going to do it with steel. But when you look at those things, they're made up of atoms. And those atoms are in there moving. I mean, that's what mass is. It's energy and motion. They're very close, but they're different. Energy, motion, and then phenomena. And that's what we're all, phenomena. Yes, exactly right. And so, you know, these numbers that I threw out that I can't even pronounce. I mean, I wouldn't know what they are, really. They're valid numbers. It's a valid calculation. I mean, anybody can do this calculation, and it's valid. But, you know, if the whole universe is made up of these 94 mm-hmm. elements, and they talk about the size of some of the stuff out there, how many atoms would there be? That's a valid number. It is a valid number. Nobody could guess that stuff. But God knows. And those things have their being in God.
Amen.
And they know that, you know, there's energy there. Now, that's what an atomic explosion, that's what they do. They split, they release the energy in an atom. Not just any old atom. but they release that energy.
Mm-hmm.
What is that energy? They can't tell you. And they got all kinds of stuff. Again, everything they're looking at is God's creation, but their understanding of it is void of giving attribution to God.
They do not honor Him as God.
Exactly. So, you know, let's go to Acts 15, chapter 15. We'll read verse 18. And again, my whole purpose is to exalt our God.
Amen.
And to show that we have nothing to worry about, regardless of what's going on in this world. God is in control, and it's exactly going according to His purpose and plan. And it's verse 18. We all know these. In fact, I don't think there'll be anything here new. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Well, all those planets that are out there and where they're at, and those black holes that have mystified man, and they can't figure it out. And all these other things. Like one of the, a big news item, I don't think it made the national press, but you know, it made Yahoo. But it was this theory that somebody had, and they observed it finally. And it was this electrons, and that's another thing I forgot to mention is the distance that you see in these atoms, it's the same mind-boggling numbers that you see when you look into outer space and see how far, you know, not our sun so much, but the other stars, the ones that are light years away. You see the same thing in an atom. Small little thing, and those electrons on those outer bands are so far from that nucleus, you'd think it would get lost. But there was an electron, and they swim around, swirl around the nucleus. Somehow got loose and jumped down into that nucleus. And that's a big deal. I mean, it's like that was big news to these guys. They can measure that stuff. They can sense it. They can see it. They understand it. They got all kinds of fancy words for all these different things that happen. And again, you know, it's God revealing more and more of Himself to mankind. And what's happening? Just like Israel. God did all these miracles, these plagues in Egypt. They saw it. And it wasn't too long after they got delivered, they started murmuring against God, forgetting about God. And we see that over and over again, what you were reading this morning. You know, God is, and that's why I was looking for that, Him. Our God is an awesome God. I don't know who did it, but I remember it.
Yeah.
And He is. He is. He is just, and you know what? And God loves. There's godly love. That just grips me to think about that. I so look forward to what that's going to be like. To be in His presence and see the fullest display, the fullest but to be in His presence. And when I think of Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, it just gets me. So God knows all these all the works. He knows them all. There's nothing surprises Him.
Mm-hmm.
And not just on this earth, but whatever's going on into the furthest star. Or those stars that we haven't even found yet. It's part of God's creation. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and speaking again of this in Acts, known unto God are all his works. I mean, all the things that we see going on, these are his works. It's God bringing all these things to pass. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, you know, we really are a blessed people because we know that and we believe that. But there's not a lot of people who do. And they will meet God. They will have to do with him. Unfortunately, because they did not worship him and did not honor him and attributed all these things to chance or man or something of that nature, they will spend an eternity away from God, suffering his wrath. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Any creature, which, you know, everything's created except God. That's the evil, fallen angels. It's everything. I mean, it just, I marvel a lot. Not Marvel Comics, but the fact that all of this is from God, and it is so amazing to me, and that there's nothing new for him, nothing he has to learn. And it just seems to me that with all the learning that's going on, man would be drawn closer to God instead of the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about the word depravity this morning. And then I was thinking of the word deprived. And in a way, that's what's happened to people. They're deprived of the knowledge because of the blindness of their heart. They don't want to believe. It's just like the Jews didn't want to believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Few of them wanted to believe he was God. And he was all those things. And those of us who do believe, it's only by the mercy of God and his grace. We don't get puffed up by it. Hopefully we don't. Let's go to Numbers. Don't hear a lot from Numbers, but you know, I got a couple verses this time out of Numbers. It's Numbers 23. And in particular, it's verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now, God is the only one who can make good on what he has said.
Amen.
He's the only one. We may say, well, after church, I'm going to go home. Well, maybe not. Something could happen. Not true with God. And he has said a lot. Now, when you read his book, he has said a lot. He tells us, I mean, we read a couple of verses earlier about in the end of the world, there's going to be an end of the world. We know that. And he's told us a lot about that. Time has given us some examples. It's going to happen. It's not going to change. I mean, it's You know, there's so many people, just like Brother Paul has said, you know, one man said, you know, well, if the foundations have been destroyed, let's repair the foundations. You can't. They can't. You know, it's part of the pattern. You know, man lived average 912 years prior to the flood, but guess where it went? Went the same way Israel went. It's going the same way now in the visible church that it went with the, was it antediluvian? Is that what they're called? And then with you know, Israel, the nation of Israel. I mean, they were ones that had the oracles of God. Speaking of that, I find this kind of interesting. I'm trying to work on another message, and I looked up oracles in Webster's 1828. It's not in there. It's not in there. I had to go to Smith's dictionary, Bible dictionary, and they have a little verbiage on it. I mean, I kind of know what it was, but I was looking for the formal definition. I just find it kind of amazing that it's used, it's found in the scriptures a number of times, and yet Webster didn't put it in his dictionary. Just a little trivia. But yes, if God has said he's going to do something, he is going to do it. It's not going to stop. It's not going to change. And I know that there are a lot of Christians who think that things can get better, think that we can change this situation, with God's blessing, of course. But Scripture makes it clear that it's going to go down, become more wicked every day. And we see it all the time. I mean, we were talking about it prior to the service, and it just amazes me. You know, I read about that thing that happened at Waffle House this morning, early this morning. These things are popping up all the time. It's almost inexplicable, except we know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is pulling back. Men are being given over to that depraved nature that they have. And those of us that understand this can take comfort in knowing that nothing's going to happen to us except God brings it to us. And if he does, you might not have a whole lot to say, but you just bow to it. And realize that, you know, the Lord, this is Isaiah or Jeremiah. I don't really understand it, but the whole phrase is all in uppercase letters. The Lord our righteousness. And that's enough to just not say anything. You don't murmur, you don't complain. You might say, ouch. Or something of that nature. Right. Right. Well, JT, I'll say that comment for a minute. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. And we will read, we'll start in verse 14, read down through 24. Isaiah 41:14. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob.
Yes.
You know, I wonder how many people would be offended by that.
Yeah.
Well, but the one thing it does, and I'm hoping that this message does for us, you know, is to realize that without God we are nothing, that we are so small in everything. Even our love for each other, our love for God, doesn't compare to his love for us. even though he's told us everything that we need to know. And over and over and over again, just as Brother JT was saying this morning, he was telling Israel these things over and over again. And look what happened to them. And look at them today. Just as godless as they were, if not more so. Again, picking back up. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountain and beat them small, and shalt take the hills as chaff, and make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree, and I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know, and consider and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Shew the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught, and abomination is he that chooses you. In other words, God, again, is the one who is the first cause of all the things that have ever happened and that are happening right now in this world and in our lives. It's God. God gets all the glory. God gets is the one to be honored. He's the one that, and I'm learning more about this, you know, crying out to God for everything, everything, because He is God. And that's what He wants from His people. Don't think for a moment that something's too small or something's not important enough. And again, it's to honor Him and to exalt Him and realize that, and this is not the message of the world. You know, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. These are the things that we learn from His Word. And over and over and over again, He tells them, I am the Lord your God. Let's go over to Isaiah 44. And I'll just read a few verses here, beginning in verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call, and shall declare it, and shall set it in order for me? Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them shew unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And yet, you know, we live in a time just like Hinduism, they have thousands of gods over there. They got festival almost every weekend to honor their gods.
Right.
And yet, and they believe that. They believe that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, and that's kind of the something that I've wondered about over for years. They pray. Hindus pray. Muslims pray. But yet, they never got an answer. They never get an answer to their prayer. They're not praying to God. They're praying to a no God.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it all their life.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole life. I mean, it's just, it's, and how many people who go to a Christian church do the same thing? Don't really know God, but they've been told they do. And according to what they're hearing, they must be part of the kingdom. But yet they're not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. I guess that shows you the depravity of man. That he can believe these, he can believe a lie just like he did. That was really what happened. She believed the lie that you shall not die. That was a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the lie. And people are following a lie today. The same lie. And God's telling them. I mean, you know, that's what's to me one of the marvelous things about Isaiah and Jeremiah in particular, is they were telling those people, they were telling their countrymen what God was telling them. What's going to happen
mm-hmm.
if you don't repent, if you don't stop this evil, this wickedness, if you don't stop it, he's bringing a judgment upon you.
Amen.
And they continued with it and continued Amen. With it, and finally, he did it.
Yeah.
And he gave them opportunity to come back, rebuild that temple. But you get to the time of Christ, and they were right back doing the things they had done. They were just as bad, if not worse, then as they ever had been. And so it was two types of Jews at that time. Those that saw Jesus Christ as God,
mm-hmm.
and those who rejected him. And they still reject him to this day. I mean, it's just, I find it very, very interesting. But yeah, I see the same thing happening in the world today. And it's like God showing us that the natural bent of man outside of him is to go further into evil. Further away from him. I mean, it's just interesting. It's only by the grace of God that we don't fall into that. Now, I thought, you know, I had to look this morning at my notes. I thought maybe JT was going to cover some of my verses. Because we're now going to go over to Isaiah 46. But what we read in Isaiah 45 this morning would have fit right in with the message. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 46 and begin with verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. And they fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble? Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Amen. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. There's no ambiguity in what God has said is going to happen or what he's going to do. And, you know, and again, this is a massive universe. It's just incredible when you think about it. In fact, on my phone, my wallpaper is a picture of outer space, deep space. And what amazes me about it is, in this particular picture, there's a couple of really, of course, you see all these stars, but then you see some of these large clusters of light. And there's so many stars there that it looks like one light, but it's millions or billions of stars that are in that. And I marvel at all of this stuff and how it all came about in those 6 days. Yeah. Those 6 days. Mm-hmm. Incredible. And, you know, it's one of the things that people who reject creation point to is that, yeah, I do believe that those stars are 13 million light years away. I believe that. What I don't believe is that it took that long for it to come, for it to be created. I mean, God's not bound by anything. Just like, you know, God's not bound by man. You can't bind God. Right. He's God. And it is interesting that everybody that uses that word, they know what that word means. Mm-hmm. They all know. To be God is God. They just don't honor him as God. But such a large, massive universe, it took no more to create all that than it would have if it would have just been the sun and our nine planets. It's like God's not going to be any less God when we are all with him and are like him. It doesn't diminish him one bit. I mean, that's a phenomena, right? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. We couldn't understand it right now anyway. Maybe we never will. I don't know. But, you know, God has purposed to do something. He did it without a creation. And it's coming to pass.
Yeah.
Exactly. All the even terrible things we see. Well, that's the result of sin. That's the judgment, you know, on sin. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday because I was reading about atoms and, you know, all this energy and all these sorts of things. And I remember Mount St. Helens. You know, that was what a marvel that thing was.
Oh, yeah.
Blew one quarter of the mountaintop off. Just,
I think it won a bowl and over in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Now they think fiction.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the only thing, sin is the most powerful thing that we really can know of.
Yeah.
I mean, it took Jesus Christ and his death to overcome sin. It's a very, very, very powerful thing. I mean, sin. And so all these, you know, things that keep going on in this. And it all came from, you know, eating that fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all began. It may seem kind of harmless, doesn't it? But getting back to what you were talking about this morning, disobedience to God. God said, don't do it. And they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just read this to you. Psalm 89:34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So we read those verses out of Hebrew and Matthew talking about in the end of the world. There's going to be an end. Nothing's going to stop it. Absolutely nothing, because God purposed it that way. In the beginning and then in the end. I just marvel at that first verse of the scriptures. And now there's three verses in scriptures. They all say the same thing. I'm going to read one. Psalm 57:5. It's also in verse 11 of that same psalm, and then Psalm 108:5. But, and this was my whole purpose for giving this message. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Mm-hmm. And it is. And whenever I see that term glory, almost every time, I always think of God's sovereignty. God is God. And there is no other. And He does, or I should say He did and He does, His good pleasure. But it's always righteous. So whatever, you know, we see something happen and we don't, you know, we think, well, that sure is not right or unfair or whatever. It may seem that way to us, but God's the one that brought it to pass. I'm going to end this with this verse. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And here's the whole purpose for that and everything in between. It's verses 1 and 2. Titus 1 and 2. Paul, servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And here's really the verse. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Mm-hmm. That's the whole purpose, is to have a group of people that will have eternal life to be with the Father and the Son and the Spirit without end. Mm-hmm. They had to have a beginning. And we're called an eternal. I don't hear that word too much. I like to throw it out because people don't hear it too much. But it means no beginning. No, I mean, it means a beginning, but no end. Mm-hmm. And only God, of course, is eternal. And then there's some things like the spirit of an animal that had a beginning and an end, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know. But,
you're talking about being, things being, getting worse and worse, that all came back at the garden and sin entered in. Until then, Adam was there in the garden feeling it, and they hadn't even come around.
Right.
Just to do with water in the garden.
Yeah.
But after that, then that thing began to get more and more violent. We had begun to have storms, you know, lightning and thunder and storms. And the thorns and the thistles, and that began to multiply also.
Right. And I was asked the other day about, you know, the fact that prior to the flood, the average age of a man was 912 years old. And it started decreasing after that flood. You know, why is that?
God said.
Well, yeah.
Today it's 120 years, that's it. So it's in 120 years. It's Moses, it's 90. And then also in Moses, you've got 3 score and 10. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's a statement. He said, let there be. And that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all I can do is, you know, thank God and praise Him that there was a day when I wasn't looking But he was.
Yeah.
And
I
he
was found of them that sought me not.
Yes, exactly. I know I'm an example of that.
Yeah.
Without doubt. Well, let me close with prayer and then we'll call it. Our Father and our God, it is such a joy and it's such an honor to be able to speak from your word in the ears of other people. It's, Lord, such an important thing and a blessed thing and a sobering thing, you know, to declare from your word. And Lord, we know that you are holy and righteous and sovereign. And Lord, we ask that you will write these things in our hearts and in our minds, and that we would think on them and honor you in all that we do. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your full word, your full revelation, that we can read it, meditate on it, and talk about it. We thank you for this day. Lord, we ask that you will bless the food we're about to partake of. And Lord, we do pray that you'll bring our pastor and his wife back to us.
Amen.
And pray that they too have been blessed by their worship services.
Amen.
All these things we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.